I'm excited here to welcome everybody back to another episode of Disrupting Privilege, Conversations on Race and Health. I'm grateful to have with me as my co-host today, Mary Richardson Lowry. Mary is a retired partner from Mayor Brown Law Firm. She's been actively engaged in the philanthropic fabric of Chicago for many years. And I've often said is one of the reasons why Chicago is such a great city. Chicago is unique in that it has a philanthropic fabric that is pretty powerful. The community at large has really embraced the need to address gaps in the free market. And people like Mary are keys to making sure that Chicago continues to improve in many ways. It's a great city because of folks like Mary. So Mary, welcome to another episode. We're getting to get old hat at this a little bit. So thank you for joining us. Do you care to say a few words before we get started?
Thank you, John. It's nice to be your co-conspirator today. And to the audience, welcome. We hope this is an informative conversation for you. Okay. To our guests, Dr. Jackie Rouse, I'm delighted to make acquaintance, and I think this will be a productive, engaging conversation that I'm hopeful will inform our audience so that they, as they have their health journey, will be better prepared.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you. Well, we're excited to have Dr. Jackie Rouse join us today. Dr. Rouse is the Vice President of Community Health at Advocate Aurora Health. And before we really get started, Dr. Rouse, if you could take just a minute to sort of share with our audience who Advocate Aurora Health is. Share with your elevator speech, if you will.
Thank you. Very happy to be here, John and Mary. And just to share a little bit about Advocate Aurora. Advocate Aurora is not a not-for-profit integrated delivery system and leading employer in the Midwest. We employ more than 75,000 people, including 8,100 physicians and 22,000 nurses. Wow. So we're a pretty large organization. We consider ourselves, of course, a national leader in clinical innovation, health outcomes, consumer experience, and value-based care. Our integrated delivery system serves nearly 3 million patients annually in Wisconsin and Illinois, across more than 500 sites of care. We are proud to have contributed over $2 billion in charitable care and services to our communities in 2020. I serve as Vice President of Community Health for the Illinois Division, in which I am responsible for community strategy, community health improvement planning, including community health needs assessment and community benefits activities. And that's across the state of Illinois. My background is in public health and working to improve health outcomes through innovative programs for vulnerable communities. And at Advocate Aurora, there are 9 hospitals in Illinois, which we all conduct community health needs assessments and develop an implementation plan to address those identified needs. So the assessment is conducted every 3 years as required by the federal government. Mm-hmm. And I am also responsible for relationship development and management of various relationships across entities, community partners, key leaders, and community-based organizations. So happy to be here on this podcast with everyone.
You were excited to, I'm excited to hear you say that part of your role is relationship building, because one of the things we want to do is continue to strengthen our relationships with a lot of the core institutions that have supported and embraced the mission that Equal Hope has been on for the past 13 years. So it's fantastic to meet here virtually and to begin to build this relationship a little bit further. So thank you. So one of the things I find unique about Advocate Aurora, the other health institutions we've talked to are really sort of community-based, like Rush is really sort of the west side of Chicago. And again, with any healthcare institution, I'm sure that the way in which you define community varies depending on what you're talking about. From when it comes to research, you're probably looking at the world as your community. When it comes to, other ways to define your sense of community, I'm sure they vary from hospital to hospital based on your current constituency. But as you said, you have 9 hospitals across Illinois and serve up to 3 million patients a year across the whole system. So help me understand, how does Advocate Aurora define its community?
Yes. So our community really is defined by our footprint. And, you know, we struggled to really kind of understand how we're defining that. And what we settled on was to divide our hospitals and the entities that are within, such as the clinics and medical facilities, into what we call patient service areas. And so these patient service areas are then divided into regions. And so that's the one definition of community. The patient service areas that are the regional hubs then coordinate care around our patients. And so, for example, if we have a South region, which includes Advocate Christ Hospital, Advocate South Suburban Hospital, and Advocate Trinity Hospital. So that's one regional hub. Then we also divide our, for community health needs assessment, we actually define that a little bit more closely to each hospital site as a primary service area. And so we use those zip codes as where we want to do the most impactful work because it's closer to the hospital site. So we actually have almost two definitions there of our community. And in our context of our community health, we really do extend beyond the patient base. We extend into the broader community. And so our community health outreach programs invite more than patients to the table, but it really invites community members that participate from multiple zip codes. In this day and age, when we use technologies such as Zoom or Microsoft Teams platforms, we're able to extend our community health activities beyond the defined zip codes even. And a great example of that is our diabetes prevention program, which uses the CDC's National Diabetes Prevention Model. And that program is a year-long program that we have started conducting via Zoom, and we have successfully completed the program with individuals participating from several states that are outside of Illinois and Wisconsin. So that's been a really, really nice to see.
That's
very interesting and very thorough. I was just, as you were speaking about, we had the query I had was associated with the strategic direction of the institution, because you're so in so many places, Illinois, Wisconsin, some are suggesting soon to be Indiana. Don't know the truth or falsity of that. You don't have to disclose it on this podcast.
We're all guessing.
That's right. Exactly. It's you're in a growth mode, which is a beautiful thing, but it also can impact your strategic direction. How, talk to us. We are also, as we started off discussing, in a growth mode. Talk to us about how that growth and your placement and your broad and micro and macro definition of community, how that informs your strategic decisions, and give us counsel as an organization that also can no longer just be a West Side, South Side organization, the things that we ought to be considering.
Sure. So defining our community, let me just start with the patient service area, really allows us to better serve our communities by focusing on the needs of that given population. And the reason I say that is because, for example, the communities in the North region have totally different demographic and needs than, say, communities in the South region. And so understanding the needs of those communities provides us with more focused, culturally sensitive care. We also plan and develop partnerships that help us to address the needs of our community. A prime example would be we've made with strategic decisions really is based on our community definition is our current work with the newly formed Southside Healthy Community Organization, which is designed to transform care in the South Side of Chicago. And so as we looked at defining our community, we were more narrowly focused in considering the organizations and the care that was needed and to achieve health equity on the South Side. So we jumped in and collaborating with 13 organizations, including St. Bernard Hospital, University of Chicago Medicine and others to develop a care coordination and technology platform that will link the community care and address determinants of health. So our focus areas really are also including improving care. And this is really based on our community strategy overall. We want to improve care, maternal child health, hypertension, mental illness, and substance use. And those are the areas that are focused on. In our area of social determinants, we're working with our community-based organizations who can help address the needs of the community.
Yeah. So in your response, I'm hearing collaboration is critical. But I also heard you say that you're trying to be sensitive to the communities in which you're serving. So do you have a racial and ethnic sensitivity, if you will, training that happens with the employees before they touch base? And is that something you would recommend that we ought consider?
Good question. Yeah.
Yes, we absolutely do. We do have, as a matter of fact, a department that focuses on ensuring that our team members are trained in cultural sensitivity, patient care as well. Our diversity, equity, and inclusion department was stood up several years ago, and we've been working through that avenue to ensure that we are providing culturally sensitive care.
Thank you.
For our community health needs assessment, the more narrowly focused one that I mentioned in the before, it allows us also to identify community needs beyond the patient market into the hospital's market. And you know, that strategy with Advocate Trinity Hospital, we've opened a food pantry to address social determinants in our patient population and for the community. And then at Christ, we've opened a trauma recovery center that works with both victims of violence to improve behavioral health counseling and social support services. So those are just some examples of some of the things that we've been able to do strategically.
That's great. We addressing the social determinants of health is very complex. I mean, the causes to disparities are multifactorial. And so you have to look at these from a variety of different ways. I'm thrilled to hear how important collaborative efforts are, particularly with community-based organizations. I mean, one of the things that we have found that has been really valuable to the city and the county here in Chicago is the relationships that we have with the communities that we serve. And we're primarily focused, not exclusively, but primarily focused south and west sides of Chicago. And because of, you know, all of our navigators live in the communities that they serve. And so they understand the nuances, they can speak the language, they're very comfortable navigating around to barbershops and community centers and other places, grocery stores, to sort of encounter people and talk about the needs for preventative care and preventive screenings. And that gives us sort of an upper hand, if you will. That's maybe not the best image, but that gives us an advantage when we're trying to talk about sort of sensitive topics of, you know, getting mammograms done on an annual basis, or, you know, making sure that you're taking care of your sort of your health across the board. There are, as we get into these health issues, there are, you know, deeper cultural issues. Some people don't want to talk about certain kinds of exams and pap smears, and yet they're vital to saving lives. And so we find that really important. Equal Hope, as you know, started as a task force, and we started as the Metropolitan Chicago Breast Cancer Task Force. At the time, I was not with the organization then, but I understand nobody wanted to start a task force. Everyone said, no more. We need a bunch of people coming in and studying and tell us what we're doing wrong. But from those early efforts, we learned a couple of real key things. And one of the things that emerged that out of the community that we were working with, people said nothing about us without us. And that has become kind of a buzz phrase that I think has real value, that, you know, if we're looking to address some of these disparities, we really want to tackle the social determinants, don't come in and tell people how they have to do it. but really engage with them and help them be part of the solution. And so, you know, we found our navigators are really keys to that, in that they are aware of the nuances of their communities. They know that how to navigate, how to walk through them, where to go, where populations reside, and gather information. So that's been very helpful. Tell us a little bit about, you had mentioned your work on the Southside Health Transformation Collaborative. I know you're working with a host of different organizations there. How important is partnering with community-based organizations like Equal Hope or like other entities in your overall sort of strategic direction?
You know, partnering with them is very important, and it's really kind of key to addressing social determinants of health. Now, we are all aware that social determinants of health are 80% of the person's health is really affected by social determinants, and maybe 20% due to clinical care and 10% due to the physical environment, due to, this is from research by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. So our understanding of social determinants is very important on our approach to community health. And so working with the community organizations that provide services that affect these social determinants, for instance, if they're providing food access, or they're providing transportation or even jobs, that becomes a key part of what strategy we need to have these relationships with our community organizations that provide that. We're one system and we're a large system, but we can't provide everything. Right. And so partnership is key for us in making sure that we're working with those community organizations and even supporting them, whether it's something we can do as a collaboration to bring funding to improve those services or increase those services is really key to what we like to do.
Well, as the sort of the head fundraiser for Equal Hope, I'm thrilled to hear you say funding is important.
It is
crucial, and certainly, you know, it's not just throwing money at problems. That's not the best way to solve a lot of these entrenched disparities. But certainly, knowing that we have partners who believe in the work we do and the role that we play in the larger healthcare landscape is valuable. And so Advocate Aurora Health has been a supporter of ours, as far as I know, from the beginning, from our inception. I know the past several years you've been a key supporter. As we talked about earlier, Terry McCarroll serves on our board of directors, who is with your organization. And so we're grateful for that and look forward to furthering that as we get deeper into these discussions.
I was, as I was listening to you respond to the prior question, the importance of the social determinants of health and hospital systems finally embracing why that is a business imperative. If one is in the business of providing, responding to health challenges, it's clear that Advocate is well on its way on that front. But I'm wondering how that has, as a consequence, how that has challenged the fundamental assumptions in health and how you deliver health-based services. I'm a prior board member for Cook County Health and Hospital System, mm-hmm. So which is a large mission-based, third largest in the country mission-based system. So and one would think that's baked into the process. It is not. You have to live it, learn it, apply it. But most people don't check who they are when they walk in the door. They walk in with all the assumptions of whatever life, class, race, or racial group, et cetera, they come from. How has what you've discovered challenged the fundamental way in which you deliver the assumptions and how you deliver health services?
Really good question.
Yes. Well, let me just start by saying our system has, you know, a long-term commitment to serve our community. So we developed an integrated community strategy focused on addressing those social determinants and really achieving health equity. So we prioritize at least six key focus areas, which include primary care, access to care, to behavioral health care, food security, community safety, workforce development and housing. So that means that in identifying needs, we also address social factors that affect patients based on those needs. We began doing this work by benchmarking against other systems, health systems, particularly some on the West Side, really working to participate in public health collaboratives so that we could understand the work. Learning networks were great in helping us to determine what steps we needed to take and really understanding some public health concepts. And so we planned and execute our community strategies, engaging community members, seeking community input to gain that community voice, and then really leaned on our community partners to help us to try to improve health. I do want to mention that what was vitally important is to get our health system's top leadership on board with our community strategy. And then at Advocate Aurora, our most senior leaders from the board of directors to the CEO and the leadership team see our strategy as a must-have to improve health equity. I would add that we did talk about social determinants and how our strategy has changed the organization. We do know that social determinant screening is important to have, right? We need to understand what is impacting an individual's ability to good health. And in that context, we must rethink how our communities access care and the barriers they have to accessing that care. So to understand the barriers to care, we have started conducting social determinants of health screening for patients using community health workers in particular. And so although we haven't gone totally system-wide, our intent is to, we are building now to try to do this system-wide with every patient that walks in the door. And so our community health workers are great for patient engagement and understanding barriers that may be affecting their care. An example would be a primary care connection program that we operate out of our emergency departments. And I know, Mary, you were talking about some of this, and that provides services to patients who are in the ED for low acuity visits. And after an assessment, those patients are provided resources and linked to those community organizations that we have partnered with. And those community organizations can help us to address further needs such as food, housing, transportation, and even referral for additional medical services. So as we said, community partnerships are a key element of what we've done. And it is something that really has changed. We are more focused on developing community partnerships. And in addition to looking at the types of services that we can partner with our community organizations as well.
That's great. I have spoken a little bit about the social determinants, or a lot actually. And one of the things that I've found fascinating, I'm relatively new to the healthcare arena. So I've been in the philanthropic arena for most of my career, but this is the first time, and I've wanted to get into healthcare, health equity in particular, but healthcare in general for a while. And I've learned that I still have a lot to learn. I'm learning as we go. But one of the things that fascinated me is in doing these podcasts and talking to some of the healthcare executives is that they're looking at their institutions as financial vehicles, as sort of financial engines for communities. And in particular, what I'm getting at is they often look hard at their hiring practices and how are they managing their hiring practices to ensure that people from the communities that they serve have access to those jobs. And so you're not necessarily in a community, you're in a lot of communities, but talk a little bit about how Advocate Aurora Health understands its own employment practices and how that may shape some of your outreach to the community in an attempt to address the social determinants.
Sure. So with Advocate Aurora, we have an initiative that really it is twofold. It's an internal workforce development initiative. It's called the Advocate. Well, right now it's called the Advocate Aurora Workforce Initiative. And it started out of the Illinois state of Illinois. and it was called the Advocate Workforce Initiative. And this initiative worked in creating a pipeline of individuals that could get employment into our system. And so for healthcare and for those team members that were not able to either, or the participants that were not able to become a part of our system, we would place them in other roles in other health systems. And so what we call middle skills labor is where we were focused on. So radiology techs, CNAs, housekeeping, any of those areas that doesn't require a high clinical license is where we focused on for several years. We started those programs at Advocate Trinity Hospital was where we kicked off the program, the community most in need, followed by the hospitals in Illinois Masonic and South Suburban Hospital, and then finally at Christ Hospital. We've since expanded that program into what we call Navigate, which is really an acronym for really taking someone out of their department. Say you are in food and nutrition and you're serving food in the cafeteria, to working with that individual to identify a career path for them that they may want. I believe we have team members that would come from food and nutrition in the cafeteria and work with them to develop a career path for them. And so we do have some great examples from that. We had a food and nutrition person that decided she wanted to become a sterile supply tech. And she entered the Navigate program. After several weeks of training, we were able to find her give her the ability to make that transition. So that's a great program. And then we began just this year similar programs in Wisconsin to do the same thing. So we work both within, and one of the greater parts of that program is really the ability to work with our community partners. And so working with Instituto de Latino to provide some services. We've worked with Phalanx Community Services. And so working with those smaller community-based organizations that can reach the community members has been key for us.
That's great. It really sounds like you have a fairly comprehensive approach to looking at not only your hiring practices, but your retention practices as well. And how do you create paths to improvement, to better paying opportunities within the hospital system? And I just think that is key to really addressing some of these longstanding disparities. So congrats.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, as we really appreciate your time, Dr. Rouse, as we come here towards the end, is there anything you would like to share with our audience? We will probably come back to you down the road in a year or so and try to do another episode of Disrupting Privilege. But as we get towards the end here, is there anything you'd like to share with our audience?
Yes. Well, I would just like to say that the work that we are doing is very important to achieving health equity. Collaboration is a huge part of how we will become successful. We already see a coalition of organizations banding together to create a greater impact in the Chicagoland market. And, we are coming together in significant ways, coupled with funding from our state legislators and our own contributions. I really feel that we are poised to succeed in this arena.
Well, you have reassured, I think, our audience of your commitment, the depth of engagement, and your intentionality in the space. And I, for one, want to thank you, because I know it is not an easy path. It is chosen work. And I'm delighted to have you here to share with us the steps you're taking to ensure there are better outcomes going forward.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I want to mirror what Mary just said. And you had said earlier, Dr. Rouse, that it really starts at the top. And so your leadership had to fully buy in. And I get the sense that they truly have. And certainly, as you talked about your hiring practices and retention, focus on retention and some of those other variables, it's clear that this is part of the strategic planning and direction for Advocate Aurora Health. So we look forward to partnering with you. We will. I'll be in touch down the road and ask you for funding for something. That's my job.
He's not shy about it either.
But that being said, you know, this is really about building, strengthening these relationships. And if we all are rowing in the same direction, we can only do one thing, and that's make a difference in saving lives. And that's our hope and our goal. So we thank you for joining us. We look forward to re-engaging you in the near term. And hopefully, like I said, down the road, we'll invite you back for another episode.
Thank you. It'd be a pleasure. Right. It's very nice being with you all today. Thank you.
Thanks so much. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.